Just stick that in the envelope, and Charlie will make sure it gets to where it needs to go. Also, some of our ladies attended a ladies' conference for First Presbytery down in Huntersville a couple of Saturdays ago. And so you'll have in your bulletin also this little card concerning the two church plant efforts in First Presbytery. And for your information, the one at the top on the left is the Living Hope Church plant in Belmont. And they have communicated to First Presbytery that they will be requesting early next year to be organized as a particular church. They report that they plan to organize with four elders, two deacons, and they currently have 62 members. They're already self-sufficient financially. They are currently renting a building just like we are from a Methodist church in Belmont. And that's their situation. The Lord has blessed that effort, and hopefully we will see them organized by the spring of next year. And the other one, Information Trinity Chapel, and they too are currently renting space from a Methodist church in the Weddington area. They had been meeting in a funeral home in Matthews, but have relocated recently, and we can continue to pray for them. And the larger sheet is Meet Your Church Planters, Plant Partners, Adopt, Support. This is the whole denomination and all the church plants that are going on throughout the ARP church across the country. And so all of that information is for you. I would encourage you to take time to pray for that ministry. And also want you to know that we do, by our denominational contributions, denominational ministry fund contributions, and what we give to presbyteries, some of all of that money goes for a lot of different things. When we have our congregational meeting on May 17th and go over the budget, I'll point out a couple of line item things in that budget. And I also have a downloaded sheet that has a pie on there that breaks down the percentage of the money that we give to the denominational ministry fund and who it goes to support. Some of it goes to support World Witness, some goes to support Outreach North America, which is our church planting effort throughout the denomination. And there's some other things that it goes to support as well. I'll have copies of that if anybody wants to take a copy of that with them. And we just want you to be informed of how we are involved already at this point. Doesn't mean we can't get more involved. We certainly can. But just want to keep you informed about those kind of things. Are there any other announcements? Okay, hearing none, we have a couple of birthdays this week. We need to sing happy birthday to Bobby and to Nancy Troutman. Now let us worship the Lord our God. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done, his marvels, and the judgments uttered by his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." First hymn this morning, Trinity Hymnal, selection 381. Brethren, we have met to worship. If you're able and so desire, please stand. We'll sing together 381. Remain standing. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, again we come and bow before you to worship you in spirit and in truth, to give thanks for this another Lord's Day morning and this opportunity that we have. Father, we do give thanks to you. You are the Lord our God. You have done many marvelous things and many wonders on our behalf. And so we look forward to giving thanks to you for them. We would also ask you, Lord, to continue to teach us to pray together as you taught the disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And again, we will together repeat the Apostles' Creed, or say the Apostles' Creed, and once again acknowledge that we do believe in the one only living and true God. So Christians, in who and what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And now, please turn with me to the back of the bulletin for our time of corporate confession of sin and assurance of pardon. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our morning prayer this morning will be prayed by Charlie. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the Alpha and the Omega and the source of all goodness. By the word of your mouth, you created our whole world out of darkness, giving it form and beauty. You created fertile land, the mountains, and the oceans. You created all the plants, from the simplest organisms to grass to the mighty oaks. And you created all the mighty species of animals, the many species of animals, including fish, birds, mammals, for us to enjoy. You created man and woman in your own image to bring them into communion with you. When they strayed, you sent them prophets and reformers that they might return to the light of your eternal word, Jesus Christ. For it is your will that your word will never return to you empty. By your faithfulness, it will always do that you, for which you sent it, and it will accomplish your eternal purpose. We give thanks for all the mercies and blessings you give us, your children. We are not deserving of any of these, as we are broken and sinners. Father, thank you for the calling, privilege, and importance of worshiping together on this Lord's Day. Because it's a calling, we dare not dismiss it easily or take it lightly. Because it is you we get to meet with, may we come prepared, expectant, and evermore grateful. We give you thanks for the privilege of celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday this coming Thursday, as we gather with our families and friends in fellowship and reflect on the blessings in our lives. We ask that this Thanksgiving we all actively include you in our celebrations and remember that you are the source of all that we are thankful for. But Father, we have things that are not good, and we pray for Pastor Hans Schmidt, who was preaching on the streets of Glendale, Arizona this week and was shot in the head by we don't know who, and we still don't know who. We ask that you be with him. He's fighting for his life. Give him healing. If it is your will, be with his family. Strengthen them. And be with the police that they find his person who shot him. We pray for those who are not able to be with us today, and we ask that you provide them healing, and if they are sick,
You give them comfort and strength in their weakness. We ask that you be with those who are traveling and those who will be traveling this week, and give them traveling mercies. And today we pray for Pastor Bob and Bobby as they lead us in worship and bring us your word. Theirs is a great stewardship and responsibility. Thank you that the gospel will be powerful in their hearts and fresh on their lips. Through their leading, may everyone here see our Savior Jesus and honor you and glorify you. We give thanks to you, our Lord. You are good. We give thanks to you because you are the God of gods. We give thanks to you because you are the Lord of lords. And we give thanks to you. You alone goes great wonders in our lives, and your steadfast love endures forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Charlie. Our next hymn of worship, Trinity Hymnal, this time selection 715. 715, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Seated. Once again, let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Father, again, we bow before you to give thanks for the way that you have blessed us and caused our labors to prosper us and to bless us to accumulate money and material things. We thank you for all that your word teaches us about stewardship and about money and material things. First of all, not to love nor trust them, and Lord, we don't, but to love and trust you above all else, and Lord, we do. You know our hearts. So again, we ask you this morning to bless the tithes and offerings that are given, Use them to accomplish your sovereign will and your purposes until you, Lord Jesus, come again. In your name I pray. Amen. May be seated. Turn with me this morning for the reading and preaching of the Word of God to Psalm number 100. Psalm number 100. I'll read all five verses. However, the sermon will focus on verse number 3, and the three things that are revealed to us in that verse. Let us hear the word of God. And by the way, if you so desire and want to, please stand with me for the reading of it. Psalm 100, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. You may be seated. So the title of the sermon this morning is simply this, give thanks to God. And there's a great deal in the scriptures that tell us that that is exactly what we should do. Now, according to our history, we still in the United States of America celebrate a day that is labeled Thanksgiving Day. It's a national holiday that began way back there in the year 1863 when then President Abraham Lincoln made this Thanksgiving proclamation. I won't read the whole thing, but I do want to read a little bit about it as a reminder to us of what was on his heart and what he proclaimed and set aside the day in on Thursday. In fact, it says the last Thursday of November. Well, this month we have five Thursdays, so Thanksgiving Day this year comes on the fourth Thursday of the month. I don't know if you've noticed that yet or not, but nonetheless, here's some of the things that he said in that proclamation. He started out by talking about how sinful we are, and how much we at that time in America, and I think these words apply to our nation today equally, if not more so, than they did in his day. But here's some of the things that he said. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched us and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with broken success, unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And so ever since that time, we Americans have continued to have a national holiday labeled Thanksgiving Day, and that being normally the fourth or last Thursday of November. But we who are the people of God, and according to biblical truth, the people of God have been giving thanks to God for a much longer period of time than a plus 200 plus 260 years, or however many it's been since 1863. All the way back, especially in the Psalms, there's a lot in the Psalms about giving thanks to God. There's a lot in the New Testament about giving thanks to God. In fact, in Luke chapter 17, and I noticed this morning when we received our new quarterly book for our next quarter, we'll be studying the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke 17, it's revealed that there were 10 lepers who cried out to Jesus to heal them. And he did. He healed all 10 of them. But the scriptures let us know that only one of the 10 returned to him to give thanks for that. And there's another place in the New Testament that tells us we should give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus. We know that God is sovereign, and that no matter what happens in our life, ultimately he is in control of that, has a reason and purpose for it. And so we should give thanks to him and have an attitude of thanksgiving all the year long, not just one day in the year, but all year long. We should be giving thanks to the Lord our God. Well, these verses here in Psalm 100 tell us, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, and I believe we all do. Come before him with joyful singing, and we have. And so now the text for the sermon, the first line in verse 3. Know that the Lord himself is God. Now, we have already confessed this morning by using the Apostles' Creed that we believe in the one only living and true God, and there is one only living and true God, and he has revealed himself to be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere present. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of all. He is sovereign and in control of all things. And the Bible teaches us that he works everything after the counsel of his own will. And he causes all things to work together for our good, for those of us who love him and are called according to his purpose. If your Bibles are still open, turn with me for a moment to remind us of some of these concepts back to Psalm number 46. Psalm 46, verses 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And some verses from 47, verse 7 and following. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful song. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. 48 verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And so it is that we know that the Lord himself is God and that there is no other. And by the way, I don't know if you've received one of these in the Miller's Creek area or not, but on one occasion, I visited Roger not long ago, and I noticed on the table in his front room was a copy of the Quran. I don't know if you know what the Quran is or not, but it's the religious book of the Muslim religion. And while he was down at the corner, someone gave him that copy and told him that it was the Bible and that he should take it home and read it. Well, it just so happened, providentially, like we heard about in Sunday school this morning, that I had a Bible in my hand that I took to him for the purpose of giving him a copy of a real Bible. And so I saw that Quran on the table, and I told him, Roger, that's not the Bible. This is the Bible that I'm giving you, and this is what you should read. And you should give that thing to me so I can take it home and do with it what needs to be done. It needs to be thrown in the trash because that's what it is. And he said, okay, that's fine with me. So that's what I did. I took it home, threw it in the trash. But just so you'll know, they are in Miller's Creek circulating the Quran. And don't be surprised if one day you go somewhere in the area and there's someone there that wants to give you one of those. Well, there's only one living and true God, and it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not Allah. He is the figment of those people's imagination. He is an idol dreamed up by them. And so just be aware of that. Know that the Lord himself is God. Second line, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. Almighty God created us. In fact, he created the entire universe. He spoke it into being. He created all that is out of nothing. That's how powerful he is. That's how wise he is. And he set the sun in its place and the moon in its place and the stars in their place and the earth in its place and all the rest of the things that are throughout the universe. And he upholds all of that with his mighty right hand. He is the creator of us all. Genesis 1:1 makes us aware of that. Psalm number 139, and I do want to read a few verses from Psalm 139 concerning the fact that he created us. 139 verses 13 and following. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. And by the way, that's a good reminder to us that life begins at conception, not at birth. but at conception. And even the color of our eyes, whether we are male or female, our personality, all of that happens at the moment of conception. And the only two things necessary to get us from that point to where we are today is time and nutrition. That's all that's required to move us from conception to, in my case, 79 plus, and whatever your age is. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. So know this for sure. He has ordained the days for each one of us. And when that last day comes, somewhere in that 24-hour period, we will breathe our last and we will die. Not going to happen before that day. Not going to pass over that day and go on farther down the road. The Lord our God has ordained the days which are for us before there was ever yet one of them. That's how mighty, that's how powerful he is. And he knows and has his reasons for the length of our life or the shortness of it, whichever it may be. And he has ordained it to come to pass, and it will come to pass as he has determined that it will. Okay, Acts chapter 17. Let's go there briefly for just a moment. And this is the passage where the Apostle Paul was visiting an area, and he was walking about and saw that they had a sign there, Acts chapter 17, verse 22 and following, saw that they had a sign posted that said this, or the idol or whatever it was. Anyway, the caption read like this: to an unknown God. So they figured, well, we've got a God for this and a God for this and a God for this and a God for something else. But just in case we don't have all of our bases covered, we're going to acknowledge that there might be out there an unknown God. And if there is, then this is for him. Well, listen to what the Apostle Paul does with this. And Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I observe that you're very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God. Perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed in the art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. And so I think the Apostle Paul did a good job of explaining to them who this as they had designated him to be an unknown God. He is not unknown at all. He is the one only living God, and he has created us and the entire universe. Back to Psalm 100, now line number 3. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The Bible reveals to us that Almighty God has chosen us from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1. He has predestined and elected us to be his people. He has saved us. He has redeemed us. He has delivered us out of darkness and brought us into his marvelous light. He has adopted us into his family. That's why we call him Father. He has caused us to be born again. He has effectually called us unto himself, and that effectual calling means that we could not resist. When he said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," and by the power of his Holy Spirit, convicted us of sin and judgment and righteousness, convicted us that we should acknowledge and confess and repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him for the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. When he effectually called us unto himself, we could not resist. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and the preacher said something like this: God will do so and so in your life if you let him. And my response was, if you let him? You mean you think you could tell him, no, you can't do that in my life? You think you're more powerful than he is? And for some who have said things like that in my presence, and I challenge them on it, I say to them something like this: if you think you're more powerful than God, then let's go out here to the cemetery and let me see you raise one from the dead. Are you that powerful? Can you, like Jesus, say, Lazarus, come forth, and him come forth? Can you, like God did in the book of Ezekiel, say to the dry bones, live, and they come back to life? No person, or any number of people is as powerful as Almighty God. And if we think for a moment that we can say no to him, get away with it, we at best think again. We are no match for him. Moses found that out, and others whom he has called to ministry at first may have said, and I was one of them, and well, I can't do that, I'm not qualified, and I'm not educated, and I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm not the other thing. He didn't listen. His plan was, I'm going to have my way with you, whether you want me to or not. Now, as we get on down the road, you're going to thank me for what I've done. You may not see the light at the end of the tunnel yet, but one day you will. And I've got a purpose for you and a plan for you. And you cannot resist that. And the farther down that road we get, the more you're going to be glad you couldn't resist that. So we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now he purchased us with his own blood. He was crucified, took upon himself on that cross the judgment, wrath, and punishment that we deserve for our sin. He took it upon himself because he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But also we learn from Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, and that Hebrew word translated I shall not want in English literally should be translated like this: the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I will not lack for anything that I need. That's the true meaning of that verse, and it goes on to talk about what the Good Shepherd does for his sheep. He provides for us. His providence sorts out everything in our lives. He showers us with his goodness. He showers us with his faithfulness. He showers us by blessing us in many, many, many wonderful ways. We are his people purchased by the blood of Christ. We are the sheep of his pasture. And because of that, he cares for us and he takes care of us. He loves us unconditionally. There's no if in it. And by the way, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 39, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let me see if I can say it like this. God says, I love you, and there's not anything you can ever do to change that. So just rejoice in it and be glad of it. Well, let me read just a few other verses, and then it will be time for you, if you so desire, to give thanks to God. Psalm 92 says this, first four verses, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night, with the ten-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad by what thou hast done. I'll sing for joy at the works of thy hands. Psalm 111, just the first verse. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. So if any of you would want to give thanks to God for something that he has done in your life to make you glad, now is the time. Okay, Brian?
Yes, I'd like to this morning thank the Lord especially for how he has blessed this church with taking two members of our congregation and raising them up to be leaders. These are men, just like you and I, that the Lord has ordained to become elders in our church, moving elders to join our teaching room and lead this congregation. And I'm so thankful for them. And I just think about the sacrifice they've made. I think about their commitment. And I also want to thank their wives, husband, Joyce, all the sacrifice you've made, encouragement you've been to the husband, Nancy, for the sacrifice you've made, and all the many things that they continue to do just behind the scenes for us, because they care for us and they love us. And most importantly, we love the Lord. And Aaron, same thing, the family, sacrifice, the husband being part of his meetings, the meeting they're having at the end of this month at 10 a.m., what are we going to do? Where are they going to be? They're going to be here praying for us, working for us, helping us. And I just want to take this time and season of Thanksgiving to thank the Lord for giving us this.
Thank you. And just so everyone will know, that was on my list too. Next. Okay, Rosa.
I've just got so much to be thankful for. Every morning when I get up, I say, thank you, Lord. I'm able to get out of things. And then I follow with saying, this is the day before I feel it before. I mean, I don't know what the day holds for me, but I pray that because I'm saying that, I can't do it. And I'm thankful for this church and for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thank you for teaching us your word. I've learned a lot from this too. But most of all, I thank you, Jesus Christ, my Savior. I shared this with you before that I enjoyed listening. But I remember when I was saved, my sister and I, who was 2 years younger than me, I don't don't know how old we were, but we were in elementary school. The wife in the Baptist church in Ashkenaz was having a problem. And we held hands and went to the altar and asked Jesus to come into our hearts. Then I remember we got baptized. We were on the swimming. And we held hands. And I didn't remember what we had on because my mother made dresses for us. So we held hands and was baptized. And I'm so thankful for this man.
Hey, thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, Rocky.
Thankful for wife to help us. Jill and I have wandered in the wilderness for quite a while. Always seeking to be closer to God and living family than we were supposed to be in that search.
We're thankful you're here. Thanks for sharing. Anyone else?
I want to thank the Lord for my salvation. I also want to thank the Lord for my husband. The first time I had eyes on him. Some people say that's impossible. You do not fall in love immediately. I did. And lived more of that day because he came into the emergency room and I looked at him and said, I'm going to marry him. But anyway, I went home and told people that I was going to marry and they said, what do you know about him? I said, nothing. I said, we're going to marry. And so we did get married and we were wonderful children. And my husband has been with me through the thick and the thin. Must say I'm fairly dramatic at times, and so he has been through some of those, and he's been through the milder times, and he's helped me all the way, and with God's help, and he's helping me now. He is back to the days that we, I don't like to call him a caregiver, but I just call him a and I thank the Lord for him. Thank the Lord for this church that Dale and Carol invited us to, and we're very thankful for the members of the church family and the pastor, the elders, everybody that has anything to do with this congregation.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Anyone else?
Well, I was not going to. As you know, the world is in a terrible situation. You watch the next TV. It's so bad. Smoke was rolling out of that tractor. So it just size of a mustard seed, and that's what those canola are. One seed, I tried to count, and you cannot count. I just averaged the number of five and the number of seeds years ago, and it was something 30 or 40,000 from one seed. But anyway, the Lord showed me through that how powerful and wonderful and helpful.
Thank you, Jim, for sharing. Anyone else want to share? Anyone else want to give thanks?
Not just my parents, but my grandparents on both sides. Neither one were very rich, but they were rich in their own bringing children that, you know, it's not pretty, but it's a good place. There's time in our lives when we struggle with our faith. He has just shown us our family is strong. And he is right when you need that whatever is there. And he provides it, and he preserves us, and he's trusting us. We thank him for growing our faith. He has a plan, like Dora said, he doesn't waste a thing. It's something that, you know, it's about to be a part of the story. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else want to share and give thanks?
I don't have a lot of new or additional things to say other than what others have already said, that I'm just so thankful how God has worked in our lives over the years. Thankful for salvation for myself and Bob and my children and my grandchildren. How faithful he's been to our family over the years. Thankful for the call that he impressed upon me many years ago and for all the changes that has brought about in our lives. Thankful for the congregations that we've had the opportunity to serve, and particularly for us here at Miller's Creek. Thankful for the love that you guys have for the Lord and for one another. On a day-to-day basis. Some have mentioned the power and the provision of God. You know, I just stand amazed at how he reveals himself in his word and how he reveals himself in other people's lives and how he reveals himself in churches as well. He's definitely a great.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else care to share? Anyone else want to give thanks? Okay. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else?
I forgot to say it.
All right. Anyone else want to give thanks? Okay. Then I guess it's finally my turn. I'm thankful for a number of things. First of all, like some of you, I'm thankful for the Lord saving me. And some people say when that happens that he turned my life upside down. Well, my life was already upside down. He turned mine right side up. And that was a wonderful thing. And I give thanks to the Lord for calling me not only to be his own, but calling me to be a teacher and a preacher of his word, the pastor of his people. And the verse that sticks in my mind about this is that verse in Colossians, and I think I may have even read that in our midst not too long ago, but I'll read it again now. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. And any man who is called to be a preacher and a pastor, it is for the benefit of God's people. And I want to assure you that if you ever need me for whatever, all you have to do is call or text or email and let me know. And if you call and say, Pastor, I need you to help me, I'll say, I will the best I can. What do you need? And I'm convinced that I could do the same with anyone in the room. If I needed something and I would call you and say, I need your help, I'm convinced your response would be, what can I do or what can I help you with? I'm really thankful for each one of you and that the Lord has placed me here as your pastor and the moderator of your session. I have friends, and we were among some of them last Wednesday morning in Harrisburg. Our high school class, my high school class, has a breakfast just about every month, and it was one of those times, and one of my classmates that we hadn't seen for a while asked me, well, what are you doing? And I shared with him, and he said, man, you too old to be doing that. You're not retired? And I said, well, yeah, that's my official title. But just because you retired doesn't mean you stop doing stuff you like to do. And I said, I'm glad I don't have to, but I'm thankful that I get to. And I really am. I'm thankful for Joyce and our family. And by the way, Nancy, same thing was true of me and Joyce as it was you and Jim. First time I saw her, thought ran through my mind, that's the one for me. And right then and there, and it certainly has been. And this next anniversary will be number 59. I know she has shared with you ladies at your luncheon about my little lips, my small lips, but I'll tell you what, they're so sweet. She's been coming back for that sugar for about 60 years. And I'm so thankful. Thankful for our children, their spouses, our grandchildren, once married. And Harris has a girlfriend. Grace Ann has a boyfriend. They all profess faith in Christ. And I tell you, that is a tremendous blessing. And I pray for every family in here that all of the members of your family will, if not already, profess faith in Christ. Tremendous, tremendous blessing. I too am thankful for Charlie and Ryan, and they serve us all well. I'm also blessed by being a citizen of the United States of America, and I know our country is in a dark place and has many needs. But nonetheless, I cannot think of any other place in the world I'd like to live. And if you've ever traveled outside the country, you will be greatly blessed to get back home. And we've had many answers to prayer, even some this week. Our prayers were answered concerning Nancy and her brother and their safe travel. Ryan and I traveled safely to and from Presbytery meeting last Tuesday. Joyce and I traveled safely to the breakfast on Wednesday in Harrisburg and in the Midland to be with friends. Thursday, went to Cary to celebrate her brother's birthday. And this coming week, when we leave here today, we'll be headed to Seneca, South Carolina, then Tuesday to Georgia, Friday back to Seneca, Saturday to Winston-Salem, then, Lord willing, next Sunday back to Miller's Creek. And the Lord has blessed us with safe travel for many, many years. Thankful for Bobby and his willingness to head up the shoebox ministry for us, to bring us the empty boxes, to coordinate all that. And this past week, he delivered 118 boxes, some from us, some from his mom and him, some from the Christian students at the high school, to Samaritan's Purse for their delivery worldwide. Thankful again that we've not had a problem this past year with Presbytery or other things like that. Year before was not very pleasant, but this has been a really good year, and I'm thankful for that. God's blessed us to provide this place for us during many years, and we continue to get to meet here now. We don't know what the future holds, but we know He holds the future. And we're confident and content with that. Thankful for the spiritual and numerical growth that He's blessed us with over the past years. And again, thankful for each one of you. Each one of you are a blessing in my life. And it excites me to get to see you and be with you on the Lord's Day and periodically at some other time. So I'm a thankful man, and the Lord's given me a thankful heart. I'm thankful for that. Okay. One last opportunity. Anyone else want to give thanks? Or are you ready to depart? Okay. Our closing song is from the folder, and it is number 9. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Number 9, and if you're able and desire, stand and we'll sing this together. Thank you. Let us bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give thanks to you for this time of worship and for all that was said, for all that's in our hearts that we're thankful for, and for the way you have blessed us in this time of worship with your presence and the work of your grace and spirit in our midst. And again, we just give you thanks for all things, for we know this is your will for us in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now receive the benediction. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.